Let's talk about it with our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at Jerem Jordan. Catch him on BYU Sports Nation and BYU TV. It is Jerem Jordan. Jerem, thanks for joining us again.
Jerem.
Holler, homies. Ball night at the Marriott Center.
Man, it's going to be a wild one. I assume Nick Emery's not going to be able to miss this opportunity. Even if he is feeling too sick, shouldn't Nick Emery just go out there and breathe on Gonzaga a bunch?
Yeah, he should have this morning. Oddly enough, Gonzaga doesn't actually do a shoot-around at BYU, which I've never heard of a team that doesn't shoot around at the venue. But Gonzaga doesn't do the shoot-around, I guess. I don't know if that's every road opponent or whatever, but I would imagine Nick Emery is going to play. Let's see how much energy he has, because like food poisoning is one thing, but having the flu for a day or two, you just don't have the energy that you normally do, and obviously playing the number one team, you need maximum energy to try and be your most efficient self.
But Jerem, when you look at Gonzaga, and you know, I was trying to do some research on him and figure out who the stars are, well, there's not really stars. They have good players, but their top scorer averages just under 15 points a game, and that's obviously Nigel Williams-Goss. They don't have an NBA player on this roster. At least they don't have a first-round or probably not even a second-round draft pick. What makes Gonzaga so good this year?
I think it's just that. I think it's their depth. I think it's their balance. A lot of times when you see – yeah, I'm with you. A lot of times you look at a team, you don't see like a 18-point scorer, and you go, oh, they don't have like an elite dude. You're right. There's not an NBA draft pick per se right now on the team. Nigel Williams-Goss potentially could turn into something, you know, maybe after next year. But there is so much depth. In the past, Gonzaga relied on the starters, maybe a guy off the bench, but they're really deep. And they've had seven different guys go for at least 18 in the game this year. That's pretty wild. So when BYU's hung with or beaten Gonzaga, when Gonzaga's been top three, the other two times, 2013 and then 2015. But Kevin Pangos or Kyle Wilcher or both combined to have a terrible shooting night. Like 5 of 23 combined in Spokane. BYU won that. At home, 1 of 12 from 3 from Pangos. Like, those are bad church ball numbers, right? If that happens tonight, Gonzaga would still be okay, in my opinion, because of the depth they have.
Well, they've got five guys that shoot 39% or better from the three-point line, and that's been one of the weaknesses for BYU. When they've had losses, teams look like they catch fire from the perimeter. Are we going to see a change on how BYU defends that, or is it kind of a personnel issue?
I think that BYU just has to throw out what they've got, which is they do have some depth in terms of fouls to give off the bench. Corbin Capuzzi didn't even play against LMU. I wonder if we'll see him tonight because you do have a big dude like Shemek Karnowski. The key, though, to me is whether Eric Nika can be effective if he can stay out of foul trouble. If he's in foul trouble, forget it. Gonzaga's going to blow BYU up. But if Eric Nika can stay in the game, if he can get at the rim, and the thing that Eric added this year was kind of a step-back fadeaway in a mid-range game, where now Karnowski or Williams or Collins or Tilly or whoever they throw at Mika, he can actually pull them away from the bucket and still score. And Eric Nika is the number one guy in the WCC and number two nationally in getting to the free throw line. I think that'll be a key for BYU. And like you said, defending the three-point line, BYU's not defended it particularly well at certain times. At Santa Clara, home to Utah Valley, where those teams went off. That certainly cannot happen tonight.
National Signing Day was yesterday in college football. BYU had a great class, but I think it was highlighted by Chaz Ayu, the four-star safety they landed from right here in Utah. When's the last time BYU signed a better prospect who was more highly sought after than Chaz Ayu?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, in terms of national and stars and everything, it's been a while. I mean, you might have to go back to, what, Iggy's Grill? And Jake Heaps, in terms of just stars and stardom, maybe Tanner Mangum, obviously, Under Armour All-American and whatnot. That was a big get, though. And I think there were a lot of really nice gets for BYU that guys were four stars. BYU went after some five stars. But Sonny Stocka, I think, flexed his recruiting muscle here in year two. Year one was kind of a scramble. He had, what, 6 weeks? This year, he finally had a whole year. He had the whole coaching staff back. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg for what Kalani Stocka is probably capable of, where he can't compete for some of these dudes that would have gone to, say, USC or Washington or even Utah. I think Barry did a nice job with the in-state guys, especially yesterday.
Do you think that's probably what the approach looks like for the foreseeable future with Kalani? A lot of focus in-state, a couple of kids in California, a couple of kids in Texas, Arizona, the surrounding states. And then, really, you get a kid from Connecticut. You know, you get a kid from Georgia or, kind of one-offs wherever you can grab them.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, the national brand of BYU, you're hoping you can pull in kids from all over the country. But, yeah, you got to win near you. And BYU, Kalani Sitake, he kind of surprised me yesterday. He said, we're not going to focus too much on JC guys, guys that will be here a year and a half. We're going to focus on guys that can be here for 4 years. And I saw that kind of investment, especially among Polynesians in the class, locally, where Alden Tofa, Langi Tuifua, and Chaz Ayu, and those kind of guys that were around, came here. Ula Tolufua from East, who transferred, the Wisconsin running back. I mean, those are nice gets for BYU that I'm not sure they were going to get maybe a year ago.
What's the biggest strength of the 2017 BYU football team right now, in your opinion?
I think it's the defense. I think the way the BYU defense played in 2016 gave us a hint of what Elisa Tuiaki and those guys are cooking, man. BYU created a lot of turnovers, did a really nice job in keeping points low. BYU was in every single game they played, which was nice, right? Obviously, a lot of close games. I think BYU returns those three linebackers. They're adding depth to the defensive line. They need a better pass rush, but BYU has some young, talented players in the secondary coming back, Troy Warner, and Zion Lake, and Micah Hanneman. But I think that defense is going to kind of lead the way as Tanner Mangum and a young group of running backs and a young group of receivers with a more experienced line coming back as they kind of develop. I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Is there a favorite at running back?
I would say Squally Williams, probably your day one starter. And then Ulu Tolufua, hopefully I'm saying his name correctly. I think he can come in and compete right away. 2,500 yards his senior year. He came back from his mission at 262, which is Chris Fuamalafala kind of weight, right? But he's down to 245 at this point. He's going to shed a few more pounds, I think, even before the start of the season. But, yeah, I'd go with Squally Canada right out of the gate.
You can find him on Twitter at Jerem Jordan. Catch him on BYU Sports Nation and at BYU TV. Jerem, great stuff. Thanks for your time, Jerem, as always.
Peace out, homies.